Chapter 55. Only a little like kidnapping. Harry held his breath when Professor McGonagall went around with the list of kids staying for Easter holidays, and he didn't put his name down. But she didn't appear to think anything of it. He didn't want to answer any questions about it, since Sirius was technically still an escaped convict, even if the Ministry was making absolutely no effort to catch him. His conversations with Hermione on the subject had been pithy. The next step was a little more fraught. He waited until Draco had finished dinner and left alone, and slipped out of the Great Hall after him. "Draco?" Draco turned, giving him a cool look. "Yes?" "Do you still have that..." A first year wandered past, and Harry paused. "Fake wand?" "Yes, as it happens." "Get it from an adult wizard, did you?" "Again, yes." "Can I borrow it?" "If I may borrow your cloak sometime." Harry frowned. "I thought not," Draco said with a nod. "Yes," Harry said, trying not to think too hard about it. Draco gave him a very considering stare. Harry shrugged. "I'll have it for you tomorrow." Harry was going to stay in a wizard's house with a wand without the trace. It did not particularly matter to Harry that the wand did not like Harry very much. Instead of bright red and orange sparks, purple drips of light fell lazily from the wand when he tried it. Lazy was a good way to describe the wand's apparent personality. It would do what you wanted, sort of, eventually, if you shouted loud enough and really concentrated. But it was nothing like the light, fiery feeling of using his own holly wand. Harry told none of his friends about his Easter plans, on Sirius's quiet instruction. Instead, he packed his bag after everyone had gone to bed, with things for the week and a few assorted bits of this and that that barely fit in his trunk. His bag, which was somewhat extended these days, held everything without a mutter. Harry and his invisibility cloak made it to the train just before departure, and he spent his time lurking awkwardly in the train corridor. "It was good practice," he told himself bracingly, "for stealth, even if it did feel a little silly." Harry slipped into the loo of the Muggle side of King's Cross and came out visible again, and lurked awkwardly. "Hello, Harry," said a quiet voice, almost lost in the bustle of the Muggle train station. Harry looked around and stopped dead. "Professor Lupin?" "I told you to call me Remus," his old professor said, still tired and careworn, but with a small smile on his face. "I thought..." Harry glanced around. "What are you doing here?"
"Picking you up."
Lupin, Remus, smiled.
"Padfoot's still talking me into bad ideas, as it turns out."
"This is a wonderful idea," Harry protested.
"Come along. Sirius tells me you know about cars and things."
"We can get a taxi," Harry offered.
"Sirius will be delighted," Lupin said half seriously.
In the taxi, Remus gave Harry a calm look and said,
"So, how did Sirius talk you into this one?"
"I talked him into it," Harry said firmly. "I wanted to go to a real house for the holidays, just in case I die in the tournament."
"Which is very similar to what he said to me," Remus said with a sigh. "But you do realize we're kidnapping you, don't you?"
Harry looked blank.
"I'm going home for the holidays with my godfather. That's not kidnapping." "He's still an escaped prisoner."
"Not very escaped."
"And Dumbledore still takes your safety very seriously. The only reason I went along with this was that I knew Sirius would do it without me, at which point there'd be no one to watch your backs."
Harry gave Remus a somewhat severe look. "Did my dad ever tell you it was his job to make you have fun? Because it seems like something someone should tell you.
We are going to be dealing with a whole house full of horrible cursed artifacts and creatures. It's gonna be wizard! Remus seemed overwhelmed by this argument, and Harry settled back in his seat, satisfied. Want a chocolate? Harry added. I made them. Certainly, Remus said politely. Remus spent the rest of the taxi ride napping, which was good, because he seemed like he very much needed a nap. Number 12 was still dingy and awful. The main difference was that the portrait of Sirius's mother had a curtain over it, which Harry approved of entirely, and Creature didn't get the door. Instead, Remus let them in and said with a sigh, If you don't mind, Harry, I think I'm going to lie down for a while. Remus should be around somewhere. He said he'd be taking his temper out on one of the nests in the drawing room. Harry nodded thoughtfully and tried to pretend he didn't know where the drawing room was. Harry proceeded to have the best 2 weeks of his life, bar none. Sirius was very good company, of the aggressive sort, and they had lots of tales about his father. Creature was sulking, and Harry didn't see him much at all, which left Harry master of the kitchen. On the first evening, Harry was sitting around a table with Sirius and Remus, having left them entirely to their own devices all day. I want to be rested in case of emergency, not running around joining in this bad idea. When Harry remembered his main planned contribution to the cause. Are you sure I can't do magic? He asked Sirius. Not worth the potential hassle, Sirius said. And it builds character or something, he added, with a somewhat guilty look at Remus. Remus had a certain expression on his face whenever Sirius gave Harry advice. Well, I made this at school, Harry said. It doesn't count as doing magic here. He pulled a pale blue flask out of his bag and poured it slowly on a patch of dust on the floor. Soap suds dripped from the flask to the floor, slowly, until a little pile the size of a small dog had accumulated. It blinked open bright blue eyes and purred, blowing bubbles at them. Harry said, it's not actually supposed to. The soap bubble pile purred louder and motored around the floor. In its wake, it left a path of shiny, polished wood. Sirius broke down laughing. Do you think it's dangerous? Remus asked, hiding his expression behind a glass of water. It's just a scrubbing bubbles potion, Harry said faintly. It's just supposed to clean the surface until it's done cleaning. Never heard of it, Sirius said. We can always banish it if it causes trouble. It turned out that the pile of animated soap did not cause much trouble, as long as it was fed adequate amounts of water. It chased dirt all over the house, turned out to do a pretty good polishing effect, and seemed to be in no hurry to disperse. I think I put in too much magic, Harry said numbly, as his soap bubble creation chased Creature down the upstairs hallway a couple days later. This is the best thing I've seen in years, Sirius said. So, what's his name? Well, Harry said, it purrs. Her name could be Kitten. Kitten it is, Sirius agreed. And that, somehow, was that.